Thank you, Dee and the team. I want to focus on the communion service this morning, which is why I'm sitting here. Can you just give me my scaler there? But before we do that, I've got some pictures I want to show you. Can you just switch these lights off? It's been really a loving time. Spring is in the air. No, it's midsummer. I don't know. But we've had a number of engagements this last couple of weeks. And there's Larissa Munro. The Munros are sitting right in the back corner there where Big John and Francis used to sit, if you wonder where that is. Congratulations. She's nearly his problem. But we also had another event taking place. There's a chorus we sing. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he? No, but I'm thinking about her. Isn't she beautiful? That's a good old innings, eh? Sure. It's a good old innings. Pray for marriages, potential marriages. Pray for these folk in particular. It's worth doing that. Well, let us just spend some time in prayer, shall we? Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, particularly as we sit before this communion table, we are reminded of your grace. We are reminded the fact that you were willing to die for us, of your enormous love for us. We know that many times in history people have said they will die for their cause, and that's what they did. They died for the cause. They showed love. But Lord, you not only showed that you loved us, you showed you were able by the fact that you rose again from the dead, and that's never happened before. And so we are before your throne of grace this morning. And Lord, we come with hearts burdened in some instances, Lord, but wanting to turn our attention away for a moment from the things that burden us, not to be ostriches and to pretend they don't exist, but to recalibrate our thinking against the bigness of our God. Lord, you are able. And Lord, you work all things according to your perfect plan. And Lord, we remember the words of Joseph where he said, you meant this for harm, but God intended it for good. Lord, we just want to refocus and to know that, Lord, you've got all eternity to make things right. We know that. So Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, your love for us is beyond question. Your power over death is beyond question. And we just bring to you the things that are on our hearts. Lord, at this time, we also want to pray for Zimbabwe. We know that some horrible stuff is happening there. And we just pray, Lord, that somehow your spirit would hover over that place and bring about the peace for which probably most of the country long. And Lord, as we look north of our borders, we turn our eyes towards our own borders. And Lord, here too, we believe that the vast majority of our people want peace and want stability and are tired of corruption and incompetence. Lord Jesus, let your spirit hover over this place. Let your spirit hover over this place. Let your will be done in South Africa as in heaven. Let your kingdom come in South Africa as in heaven. Let your name be made famous in South Africa as in heaven. Please, Lord, we ask you to do that. And Lord, for those of us who are struggling with our own ill health or with the ill health of loved ones, Lord, may we right now know that underneath are the everlasting arms. May we know that you care. May we know that you can identify with us because, oh God, you had to sit on your hands and watch while they abused your son, ultimately killing him. Lord, there's nothing that we can experience which you yourself have not experienced. And this is why we come boldly to your throne this morning. We know we will find grace to help us in our time of need. And Lord Jesus, as we turn to your word, we just pray that you would speak to us. Lord, that we would remember the amazing thing that you have done for us. That we would see, Lord, how it is just fits in with your plan. It's not something that was suddenly sprung on you, Lord, but as we see it unfold to what we have now, just to realize that you have always loved us and that you always will. So, Father, won't you speak to us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at remembering. Last week we looked at remembering and we saw how we remember our history with God, and that helps us when we're facing a challenge, when we've got decisions to make. The God who was faithful in the past, we need to remember the past. He will speak to us today and will help us today, but we need to remember, we need to have that history with him. And so today we continue with the whole theme of remembering, and I want to do one more next week on remembering. But today it's remembering what Jesus did for us particularly. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. And we read this, familiar words. For I received from the Lord, says Paul. This is what Paul received from the Lord. What I also passed on to you, to the church. He received it and he gave it because he wanted the church to hear this as well and to do it. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, of course remembering Judas and what Judas had done to him, the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." You proclaim the Lord's death, but not forever, only until he comes, because Jesus is coming again. Why is tonight different from any other night? Well, the host, the head of the home, the father will say, that's because we were slaves in Egypt. And then the head of the home will continue the story. He says, we were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Joseph first invited us down there because there was a famine in Israel, and we were only few in number, 70 people. We needed food, we needed pasture for our flocks, and thanks to Joseph, we were given land in the district of Goshen. And while we were there, we multiplied, we grew strong, and the Egyptians became afraid of us. So they made it very difficult for us. They enslaved us. And we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. The Lord heard us. The Lord saw our affliction. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Lord brought us out of slavery in Egypt. And he did it with signs and wonders. Brought us out of slavery, and that's the event we call the Exodus. This is how God did it. We were told to select a perfect lamb, a lamb without any blemish. We were told to take that from our flock and put it in a kind of household, and we were to observe that lamb for 5 days to make sure that that lamb was perfect. And then, on the predetermined day, we killed the lamb. And then we caught its blood in a basin. And we took branches of hyssop and sprinkled the blood on the lintel and the doorposts of our home. And then we went inside. We had been instructed not to leave the house after that. Supper was what was lamb and bread without yeast. You see, we knew we were leaving that night, so we thought it was a waste of time to put yeast into the bread. It didn't have time to rise. And then God showed his hand. During the night, the angel of death passed over the land. And the angel was tasked with killing the firstborn, every firstborn in the land. However, this angel would pass over our homes where the blood was on the lintel and the doorposts. And inside our homes we were safe. Of course, God was bringing judgment on Egypt, and his judgment was the death of every firstborn, but it was possible to escape judgment if we simply believed God's word, if we had faith that what God had told us to do, he would honor that, that we would take a substitute, that we would take a substitute. A lamb would die in our place and we would live. And for all who trusted God, who let the lamb die in our place, we lived and we were freed from slavery. Now the Passover meal has been celebrated by the Jews ever since then. The Passover meal, it's a celebration and a reminder of the Exodus. It was that event in our past where God acted on our behalf to free us from slavery. It celebrates our freedom, but it also reminds us that we were slaves in Egypt. And to help us remember from what we had been freed, symbols were included in the Passover meal. Symbols like the bitter herbs to remind us of the bitterness of our time in Egypt. Symbols like eggs. Eggs were the food of mourning, and often they were put in salt water, reminding us of the tears that we shed there. Symbols like the apple mixed with spice called charoshet, and was there to remind us of the color of the bricks and the mortar when we were slaves that we had to slave to build. And then there was the shank bone of the lamb, and that was there to remind us that an innocent lamb had died in our place so that we would have the angel of death pass over us. Of course, there were cups of wine, and they were there to remind us of the blood of the lamb and also the bread without yeast, 3 pieces folded into a napkin. Now, that was obviously to remind us of the bread that we'd eaten that night, bread without yeast. But as part of the ritual, the middle piece was broken. We weren't sure what that meant, but we did it. Remembering. The Passover meal was a meal to remind us of our slavery. It was a meal to remind us of how God acted on our behalf to free us. But as time passed, it also became a meal of anticipation, because we started to hear from the prophets that Messiah was coming and that the full redemption of Israel would take place. We fast forward. Jesus came. His disciples recognized Jesus was this Messiah. He was the one that they were waiting for. He was the Messiah, but the Jewish establishment didn't agree. In fact, the Jewish establishment plotted to kill Jesus. Now, Jesus has had a public ministry for almost 3 years, but now the impetus towards his death has gathered speed. And we read this. Now, the festival of the unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. And a little later we read this. Then came the day of unleavened bread, which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." Now remember, Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. And of course they would celebrate the Passover. So his disciples prepared a room for the Passover in that upper room. And then Jesus is the host of the Passover meal. And so as the host of the Passover meal, of course, Jesus would tell the Exodus story, and he would, in the time-honored tradition, use the first person. This is what Jesus said. He said, "We were slaves in Egypt." Can you hear Jesus telling the story? "We were slaves in Egypt. For 400 years, we were slaves in Egypt. We went down to Egypt. We lived there. Because there was famine in the land, Joseph invited us. We were few in number, only 70. The Lord saw our affliction once the Egyptians had made us slaves, and the Lord remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, and then the Lord brought us out of slavery. Did it with signs and wonders. He brought us out of slavery, and that's the Exodus. God did it by sending the angel of death throughout the land. The firstborn of every household would die. But we're reminded that there was a way to escape the death. Jesus is still telling the story. Take a year-old lamb, he said. Take that lamb without blemish and kill that lamb. And I wonder, did Jesus wince involuntarily when he said that, knowing that the next day he would be the Lamb of God? Kill that lamb. Sprinkle its blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and when the angel of death moves throughout the land, bringing God's judgment, he will see the blood. And he will see that the lamb has died as a substitute for you and will pass over your homes. Jesus, as host, would have told the story. But then came the part where Jesus, as host, would have picked up the bread to break it as tradition required. And the disciples were not ready for what came next. And Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." For centuries, they'd been breaking that middle piece of bread. Rabbis had speculated on the significance of it, but now Jesus told them what it signified. It pointed to his body, that would be broken for him. Jesus was about to go out into the night. His body would literally be broken for them. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember what I have done for you. But the surprise is not yet over. Jesus, as host, continues. He comes to the place where he fills the third cup with wine, the cup known as the cup of redemption. After supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." On the night of the Exodus, a lamb without blemish dies as a substitute. But that lamb dying as a substitute was all the time pointing to a greater reality. Jesus would become the Lamb of God who gave his life as a substitute for you and me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The Passover meal is a remembrance meal, remembering how God had delivered his people from slavery. It's celebrated regularly to keep that event fresh in their minds as an encouragement to continue on, even when it's hard, to live for him in the future. At the Last Supper, Jesus seamlessly morphed the Passover meal into what we celebrate as communion today, showing how the Exodus and the blood of the perfect lamb dying as a substitute was all pointing to Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, dying as a substitute to free us from sin and slavery and death. And then, of course, after supper, Jesus went out into the night to experience in his own body the reality to which those symbols were pointing. Jesus went out into the night. Jesus was arrested. He was taken to the high priest. He was taken to Herod. He was taken to Pilate. Jesus was minutely examined. And in spite of the minute examination, in spite of false witnesses being called, in spite of their best efforts, Pilate concludes, "You brought me this man. I've examined him in your presence. I found no basis for your charges against him. And neither has Herod. He has done nothing that deserves death." Jesus was the Lamb of God without blemish. But in spite of being without blemish, Jesus was crucified. Jesus shed his blood, which means that he gave his life. The previous evening at the Passover, Jesus had handled and explained the symbols. Now Jesus on the cross was experiencing the terrible reality to which those symbols had been pointing. "Do this," Jesus said to his disciples, "in remembrance of me." "Do this," Paul instructs the church, "in remembrance of me." Remember me. Remember Calvary. As you take the bread and break it, remember that I was willing to give my body, knowing it would be broken. Remember that I did it for you. Remember my love for you. Remember me. Remember Calvary. And as you take that cup and drink from it, remember that I gave my life for you. Remember I did it for you. Remember my love for you. Do it, said Jesus. Do it each time you drink it. Remember this too. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Last week we saw that the old covenant, that old agreement made between God and Israel was a conditional covenant. The covenant said, if you perform well enough, then I will do this. If you perform well enough, then I will bless you. That's the old covenant. God's blessing was dependent on the performance of the people. Jesus has come. Jesus has done for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. Jesus perfectly fulfilled all the conditions of the old covenant. And then Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, went as our substitute, and paid the penalty demanded by the old covenant. Jesus was acting as our Passover lamb, the lamb without blemish, dying so that we might live. In life, Jesus kept the terms of the covenant. Jesus fulfilled his conditions in dying on the cross. Jesus paid the penalty demanded by the old covenant because we failed to keep it. And so as Jesus takes that cup at the Last Supper, Jesus says these words, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is the new agreement I'm making with you. It's going to cost me my life. The old agreement, if you perform, then I will bless you." In terms of the old covenant, God's blessings were conditional on the performance of the people. But now we live with the new covenant. I have performed, says Jesus, therefore you are blessed. I get goosebumps every time I think about that. I have. Therefore you are. I have fulfilled the terms of the old covenant. Therefore I freely give you. You don't have to perform. We couldn't. We demonstrated we couldn't. I have. I now freely give. But that's not fair, we say. No, it's not fair. Of course it's not fair. It's grace. But I fail so many times. Well, confess your failures. Receive his forgiveness. Jesus gave his life to be able to say, neither do I condemn you. And then carry on living in the blessings which he purchased for us by dying. But that's not fair, we say. It's so open to abuse. No, it's not fair. And yes, it is open to abuse. But that's why they call it grace. That's why they call it grace. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus always wants us to remember what he has done for us. Jesus never wants us to feel that our bad performance precludes us from ever coming back to him. He doesn't want us to believe that. Do this in remembrance of me. When we are tempted to wander off the path of right living, remember what Jesus has done. Let that be a motivation of love to keep you walking on the right path. Do this in remembrance of me, says Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. We're going to sing a song, Remembrance, and then we're going to actually celebrate communion. Shall we just sit in a moment of silence as we consider these things, waiting for the musicians to get back up there? Just remain seated as we sing this next song. Those who are serving with me would come and join me, please. This is a feast for sinners. And if we weren't sinners, we wouldn't be here. And in Paul writing to the church at Corinth, there were a lot of troubles there. But he was writing to Christians. And he says, if you're a Christian and you've got some issues with people and you're not discerning the body, that's a time when it's not right to take part in communion, but it's for sinners. Because as we do this, we are proclaiming Jesus' death. Yes, the gospel. Yes, the gospel. We are proclaiming Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. Proclaiming his death. It's an announcement of the good news. This is good news this morning. For I've received from the Lord, says Paul, that which also I have entrusted to you, the church, that on the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And we are going to give thanks for the bread as they would have done then.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for what it symbolizes, Lord. It symbolizes that night when you were the sacrificial lamb.
When he had given thanks, he took that middle piece. Through the centuries, they didn't know why they did that. But Jesus knew his body would be broken for them. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. You have been served. Please just keep the bread and let's eat together as a family. Served up there on the table, on the stage. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. We eat with gratitude. When they'd finished supper, Jesus took their third cup, the cup of redemption, and he said, this is my blood poured out for you, which is simply a way of saying I'm going to die for you. And by this I'm going to make a new covenant. The covenant where I have, so you are. It cost him his life. Let's give thanks for the cup. Again, when you have been served, let's just retain the cup and let's drink together as a family. Drink with gratitude that we live with the new covenant. Father, as we draw this celebratory meal, this meal of remembrance to a close, help us to go out once more overwhelmed by your love for us, once more in the light of your prior grace, determined that in your strength, by your Spirit who lives in us, to live lives that honor you in every way, knowing that it is your desire that we do not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. Part us with your blessing. May we know the love of God the Father. May we enjoy friendship with the Son, experiencing all the time the strengthening of God the Holy Spirit who lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen.